Hi, it's Charlie Connolly here. I write every week in the New European on books and literature and great European lives. If you'd like to enjoy more from the New European, you can join us by subscribing at theneweuropean.co.uk/subscribe. That's theneweuropean.co.uk/subscribe. Great European Lives from the New European. Maria von Trapp, 26th of January 1905 to the 28th of March 1987. One afternoon during the early 1940s, a young assistant in Scribner's bookshop on Fifth Avenue in New York approached a prim-looking woman who betrayed an air of haughty impatience as she wandered among the shelves. "Can I help you, ma'am?" he asked. "Book on sex appeal, please," she barked. "Need it for stage performances, apparently." Maria von Trapp had not been in the US for very long, but already she was learning that show business on the far side of the Atlantic was quite different from what she'd known in Europe. She'd just left a meeting with a Manhattan booking agent who, it seemed, had ideas for the direction of the Trapp family singer's conquest of America that differed substantially from those of the group's matriarch. That Maria von Trapp was even prepared, as a former novitiate in a nunnery, to countenance the investigation of sex appeal for a stage show consisting largely of German liturgical music and folk songs performed by a large family ensemble, might be seen as naive. But von Trapp had seen and been through enough in Central Europe during the 1930s to do whatever it took to provide for her three children and seven stepchildren. She had, after all, recently brought them halfway around the world with barely a penny to their name. So ingrained in popular culture has the film version of The Sound of Music become, it's easy to forget that the nun-turned-governess-turned-singing stepmother, played by Julie Andrews, was based on a real person. Maria von Trapp's story was about much more than twirling giddily around Tyrolean mountain plateaus, celebrating the hills being alive with the sound of music. Hers was a rags-to-riches story that entwined itself with the story of 20th century Europe itself. For a woman who spent much of her life on the move, it's fitting that Maria Augusta Kutschera was born on a train on the way to a Viennese maternity hospital. Orphaned by the age of seven, she was placed into state care. And when she began studying to be a teacher at a Viennese college, Maria underwent a profound religious conversion, adopting the Catholicism that would sustain her for the rest of her life, and being accepted into the Nonnberg Abbey convent in Salzburg. In 1926, as Maria prepared to embark on what should have been the quiet, cloistered life of a nun, her mother superior received a request from Baron Georg von Trapp, a highly decorated submarine commander, who had been widowed 4 years earlier and left with seven children. His eldest child, he explained, was in poor health and required a home tutor. He wondered whether the abbey might be able to provide someone suitable. 21-year-old Maria Kutschera was dispatched and soon expanded her duties to become effectively governess to all the von Trapp children. So impressed was the Baron that despite being more than twice Maria's age, he proposed marriage within a year of her arrival. Maria accepted, and the couple were married in 1927, despite the union being not exactly the romance of the century. "I really and truly was not in love," she admitted later. "I liked him, but I didn't love him." I loved the children, and in a way was really marrying them. However, I soon learned to love him more than I have ever loved, before or after. It wasn't long before the marriage was tested. During the 1920s, Georg had transferred his fortune from the relative security of a London bank to an Austrian institution run by a personal friend. In the aftermath of the 1929 global financial crash, the bank collapsed. Georg lost everything, short of the sprawling family seat itself. It was Maria's idea to exploit the family's musical talents in order to make ends meet, rehearsing religious, classical and folk songs. Not long after they began rehearsing in earnest, the Trapp family choir won a prestigious singing competition at the Salzburg Festival of 1936 and began touring Europe as the Trapp family choir the following year. The combination of their harmonies and personal charm filled concert halls right across the continent. When the Nazis rolled into Austria in 1938, the von Trapps realised they could not continue performing in their native country under the auspices of a regime whose philosophy they despised, one in direct opposition to their Catholic faith. Seeing no alternative, the family opted to leave, first for Italy and then the United States. While the film portrayed their departure as a secretive flit across the mountains, carrying suitcases and musical instruments, the truth was a little more prosaic. They left Vienna by train. It was still a close shave. The Austrian border was closed the following day. Their home, meanwhile, was sequestered for the personal use of Heinrich Himmler. The von Trapps arrived in the US with $4 to their name, but within 3 years had, thanks in the main to Maria's determination, established themselves as a popular touring act, named the more secular-sounding Trapp Family Singers. In 1942, the von Trapps purchased a 660-acre estate on a hillside outside Stowe in Vermont, a mountainous location that reminded them of their Tyrolean home, and one that would provide Maria with a home for the rest of her life. She began organising an annual summer music camp for families there, on top of a gruelling touring schedule. And when Georg died in 1947, Maria began to expand the operation, opening up first the grounds to the public, then expanding their alpine chalet-style home into a lodge and convention centre. With the children growing up and looking to start their own careers and families, the Trapp Family Singers made their final tour in 1955. In the meantime, Maria had published her autobiography, with a German production company optioning the adaptation rights for $9,000. When those rights were sold on first to produce a Broadway stage musical written by Rodgers and Hammerstein, then the Hollywood film starring Julie Andrews, Maria von Trapp had made a rare miscalculation. Some people are becoming millionaires on the back of this film, but we are not, she said, a year after The Sound of Music's 1965 release. We didn't have a lawyer when we signed that contract, and are still saddled with a large mortgage on the lodge. She was far from bitter, however, and welcomed the film, albeit with reservations about the portrayal of Georg as a cold, distant father, instead of the warm, musical man he really was. Most of all, Maria was happy that the family's religious faith remained to the fore on screen, and regarded it as the ideal calling card for the missionary work she increasingly undertook once the family had stopped performing. She still faced challenges. In 1980, the lodge burned to the ground, resulting in the death of one guest and serious injuries to seven others. The family lost everything in the blaze, but the lodge was rebuilt and reopened bigger and better just 3 years later, and remains in business today. It allowed Maria to spend her final years able to relax a little, knowing the family into whose home, with its lingering shadow of grief, she came one day as a nervous 21-year-old, was finally incontrovertibly, on its feet. There is a scene in the film when Julie Andrews' Maria von Trapp leaves the nunnery, carrying her guitar and suitcase and walking through Salzburg singing I Have Confidence, passing at one point through the long archway that connects Residenzplatz and Domplatz. As she emerges, three women in traditional Austrian costume can be seen crossing the road at the far end of the arch, just as a conflicted Andrews is telling herself in song to stop all her doubts and worries, or she'll have to turn back. The woman in traditional dress in the background, leading her daughter and her granddaughter across the street with a tangible air of protective determination, is the real Maria von Trapp. Great European Lives is brought to you by The New European. It's written and presented by Charlie Connolly, and the series producer is Steve Anglesey.